number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines, continuing the Predators discussion. And we bring in our man Greg Wyshynski now from ESPN. And, of course, Greg always he never disappoints me, because when he's coming on the show, he has an article that matches up with what we want to talk about. the shocking performances so far, and under shockingly bad Steven Stamkos. 4 points in 18 games this year for the Predators. Greg, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, it's not often that one of the best goal scorers in NHL history is on track for 14 goals this early in the season, but here we are with Stamkos. So the Predators came through New York on Monday. I got a chance to talk to a bunch of them, including Stammer, and I was struck by how many of the veterans are still really hoping to turn this thing around. They have a lot of pride. They're really hopeful that by the end of November, things have changed in a different direction. And then, of course, they go out and lose the way they did to the Rangers. But Stamkos in particular talked about how, you know, he's still hopeful, that he hasn't had a discussion yet with Barry Trotz about his future, and that they're all just, you know, they're trying to ignore the clock ticking in the corner of the room about where these veterans may end up by the trade deadline if things don't turn around.
Here's the thing, and look, we've been talking for a long time, you and I, and I'm usually the last to get to, you got to fire the coach. But I just look at this situation, and yes, Barry Trotz deserves some blame. He's the one that's put this roster together. The roster obviously needs some work, but you can't change all the players, so you got to change something. And to me, that is Andrew Brunette. I have no doubt Andrew Brunette is a good coach and would get another job, but I just don't feel like it's fitting with this team. So when, you know, did you get a sense of if that might happen, when that might happen, and who his replacement might be?
Well, the only sense I get is that they really have a focus on this month. And so, you know, they get this hopefully soul-cleansing trip to Sweden. A lot of them were talking about how they were looking forward to that. It had let's go see YouTube at the Sphere vibes, maybe.
Yeah.
Hoping that things can turn around. But then beyond that, I don't know. And so to answer your question, like, one of the reasons why we all assume Brunette wasn't fired coming into this season is because he's got term on his contract. And, you know, obviously when we start talking about coaches in Nashville and what the next step would be, I think a lot of us on the outside looking in are like, okay, so you're going to be paying a guy not to coach. Hey, there's a guy you're paying to be the GM who knows how to coach. Wouldn't it make sense for him just to go behind the bench for the rest of the season? And so that's the discussion happening outside of Nashville. I have no idea if that's happening inside of Nashville with regard to the Predators, but it's hard to imagine somebody coming in that A, would want this gig right now, considering how ill the pieces are fitting, and then B, someone who can come in and make a huge difference in with this roster currently constructed.
My sense is that he does not want to do that.
I agree.
And I don't think that they would make him do it if he doesn't want to do it. That's the sense I get. I think if they did anything, it would be Carl Taylor, who's with Milwaukee, just elevating him because so many of the young players are coming up and he's coached them, that would be the sense they would go. The other two is, and I think you and I have talked about this before, I think there is a massive sense of loyalty, which to an extent I respect. David Poile was extremely patient and loyal with Barry Trotz, albeit a different situation. The expansion years then were very different than they are now. But even when they started winning, I think David Poile showed a lot of patience to Barry Trotz. And it ultimately worked. You know, one way or the other, it did. Trotz, I think, has done the same to Brunette, almost to a fault. That's kind of the sense that I get.
So the Taylor move is interesting only because it could serve two purposes. One, hoping that another voice behind the bench can kind of reinvigorate this team. And then two, you know, kind of gracefully transitioning to someone who maybe has a better handle on some of the younger players on this team because they've come through the system. And then kind of nodding to the fact that it could be a longer term situation here insofar as rebuilding. So that move would intrigue me. And it's worked out before. I mean, Bruce Cassidy in Boston was the guy coming up from the AHL to fortify the young players in the roster. Bruce Boudreau, when he was hired by the Capitals, was hired from Hershey to come up and coach the younger players in the roster. In both those cases, it paid off handsomely. But ultimately, you know, the loyalty thing could be a factor of it. But the other factor of it, too, is that if they do look at this team after November and they do decide this is unsalvageable and that we have to start moving some of these veteran guys on the roster, then you might as well just keep Brunet around because it's a lost season then. You know what I mean? So I think that's anytime a team is on the precipice like Nashville is between trying to make a dramatic move to be relevant this season or trying to raise the white flag, I think that's part of the math is maybe we should just keep this guy around to the end of the season and not pay him and not pay him not to coach.
Greg Wyshynski's on the Chase and McJoe show. Greg, I know one game doesn't say a lot about a team through 82 games, but you saw the Preds play the night. Any takeaway from that, or is this one game not a good enough example to see what they're good and bad at and all that that goes with it?
Well, the two things are, first of all, they ran into a Rangers team that's really figuring itself out right now, so they kind of caught them at the wrong time. The Rangers have been terrible at home. They're starting to get better at home. All of their underlying numbers were pointing to them being better than they were in the standings, and Nashville just happened to meet them at a time when guys like Alexei Lafreniere and Will Cooley and Artemi Panarin are all starting to put points on the board. So it wasn't the right time to play the Rangers. The other thing, too, is I noticed who wasn't there, in particular the best defenseman on the team, Roman Josi. I actually talked to him yesterday because his watch company is now the official luxury watch partner of the NHL, which is kind of a cool thing. Both him and Sidney Crosby are investors in this watch company, and now it's like officially the official like luxury watch of the NHL. So I spoke to him about when he's coming back. He says hopefully soon. He thinks things are trending in the right direction, and he doesn't expect it to be too much longer. But also just about how hard it is to be on the sidelines watching this team struggle and hoping to get back in and hoping to make a difference and knowing how hard it's been mentally for his teammates to have to go through basically the same thing two straight seasons with the kind of start that they had last year and the kind of start that they had this year.
Yeah, I mean, Josi's so beloved here in our city, Greg. I mean, that's just something you need him on the ice as much as you can. All right, we got to bring up the white elephant in the room, the UC Soros, the rumors of maybe trading him out of here. I think it was a terrible contract. I think you signed him for way too long, and the results are not there. And now you hear, you know, he may be speculation traded. I think it'd be a great thing for the Predators. What do I know? Right?
First of all, the hardest part of the UC Soros contract is looking over across the country at San Jose and seeing Askarov playing as well as he has, which is uncomfortable. Considering that he was the goalie of the future at one point. The good news for Nashville is that of all the things that are malfunctioning, Soros isn't one of them. And so if you think about where his trade value was last season versus what his trade value is now, I would have to say that it's improved. There are certainly teams in this league that could use a dramatic upgrading goal. Looking at the two-time Western Conference champion Edmonton Oilers is one example. But, you know, the other part of it too, though, is that if you are convinced that this could be a shorter turnaround back to contention for Nashville than maybe, you know, could be expected if you're Barry Trotz, then you have the goalie that you want. And so finding a goalie in this league is hard. If they're happy with him, you could see a situation where he's the constant while other things on the roster change. But if they're looking to move him, I mean, the good news is that he's showing he's still got it so far this season.
I feel like Edmonton would be the perfect spot for him. I mean, they're just that to me. That's been what they've missed the last couple of years.
Yeah, and then it becomes a situation of like what is coming back the other way because that was part of the consideration for Connor McDavid when he signed that 2-year extension up there is, you know, what's in the system? What do we have asset wise? What can we do to improve this team? And he only took a 2-year contract because they don't have a lot. I mean, they don't have a robust farm system. They don't have a ton of draft picks and draft capital. So it would also have to be a situation where the Predators are happy with what's coming back the other way, because I think they're definitely dealing from a position of strength with UC Soros. But you're right. I mean, when you think about Edmonton and you think about the Achilles heel for that team, I mean, my God, they covered the Stanley Cup final last year, and they didn't know who their starter was going to be in an elimination game. I mean, that is embarrassing. Then upgrading to someone like Saros would be a pretty obvious move.
What do you think of the next two games, this matchup in Sweden? Pittsburgh third in the Metro right now, and obviously we know where the Predators are. It seems like the Penguins that everybody thought weren't going to be great, at least in the early part of the season, have proven a few folks wrong.
They have. They're running into a little bit of injury trouble right now, so we'll see how they react to that. But they have a new coach, Dan Muse. It's kind of funny. Mike Sullivan went over to the Rangers. Dan Muse, you guys know, came over from the Rangers over to Pittsburgh. At the time, wasn't seen as a real significant hire, but I think he's shown himself to be a pretty good coach so far in getting the depth on that team to play really well. Malkin looked like he found the fountain of youth, I think, or he's in a contract year, which he is. So he's playing out of his mind right now. Crosby's playing good. Eric Karlsson's playing well. They're getting decent goaltending. They've really been one of the bigger surprises, I think, in the league so far, and a bit of a bummer for someone like me because I wanted them to be terrible so we could start manufacturing Sidney Crosby trade rumors. But as long as they're good and in contention, I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Greg, Chase is going to take a screenshot of the standings where New Jersey is number one, and we're going to title it "If the Playoffs Started Today." That way you got some hope because your Devils are doing pretty well.
Oh, they look good. They look real good. You know, their offense is churning to the point like it was a couple of years ago where they don't feel like they're ever out of the game, even if, you know, Markstrom gives up a softie or the defense fails. Like they just have so many guys right now that can play the offensive hero. Still a little concerned about them defensively at times. Always worried about the health of Jack Hughes. That guy's, you know, I think Steven Tyler once used the phrase "tap dancing on a landmine." That's how it feels when you watch Jack Hughes play, because you're just afraid that kid's going to get hurt and all of a sudden the season's going to get derailed. You know, they look real good, and I think that. As long as the goaltending holds and the young players keep trending and guys like Dawson Mercer have incredible bounce back seasons, they're a real contender in the East. They've been really impressive so far.
Like a true New Jersey fan, you just can't celebrate for one day, can you? Not just for one day.
That's a Jets fan.
They teach cynicism in kindergarten here in New Jersey. So, I mean, it's not like I don't know where it came from, but, you know, you got to remember, boys, there's also the New York Jets of it all, where my sports fandom is caked in cynicism to the point where I'm convinced now that they've declared they're in a rebuild, that they'll just keep winning games. Like, they're going to obviously beat the Patriots tonight and go on a three-game heater the minute they decide to rebuild, which is very Jetsy of them.
That's what we talked about at the top of the show. I was like, look, New England should win this game going away, but watch the Jets win. It's a very Jets thing to have happen.
Yeah, when they're going to tank to try to get that kid out of Indiana, the quarterback, but now they'll finish like, you know, 7-10. It's nonsense.
Yep, there you go. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program presented by Old National Bank. Get old as he joins us every Thursday at 2 o'clock. We'll react to some of those things. In regards to the Predators, coming up next, live from Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, it's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
It's not often that one of the best goal scorers in NHL history is on track for 14 goals this early in the season, but here we are with Stamkos. So the Predators came through New York on Monday. I got a chance to talk to a bunch of them, including Stammer, and I was A, struck by how many of the veterans are still really hoping to turn this thing around. They have a lot of pride. They're really hopeful that by the end of November, things have changed in a different direction. And then, of course, they go out and lose the way they did to the Rangers. But Stamkos in particular talked about how, you know, he's still hopeful, that he hasn't had a discussion yet with Barry Trotz about his future, and that they're all just, you know, they're trying to ignore the clock ticking in the corner of the room about where these veterans may end up by the trade deadline if things don't turn around.
That was Greg Wyshynski. With us just a few minutes ago from ESPN, Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni. Here's the thing with Stamkos, and I know you've heard Robbie say this and others say this. The problem is he doesn't have the setup guy, and he needs the setup guy. For years in Tampa Bay, he had a Kucherov or a Braden Point that could feed him the puck right in his spot, and he'd put it in the back of the net. The Predators don't have a guy like that.
So why do you sign him if you don't have that guy?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I didn't realize how important those guys were truly to him, and that, you know, they could – and, like, could Brady Martin turn into that at some point? Maybe, but it will be well after Stamkos is done. You know, I mean, you don't have time to wait on that. So
what would happen if they, like, traded a Crosby to Calgary like this?
Yeah.
He doesn't have the guys.
I don't know. I mean, if you play – it's a good question, because if you played in one spot for as long as you have, then, you know, they – I don't know. It's a good question.
Why did Tampa let him go? I'm always curious why teams let a legend go.
Didn't want to pay him. I think they – I think they knew what the Predators didn't, and that is he's past his prime, even though he had a 40-goal season.
Ouch.
So, they ultimately – I think Tampa, and there are teams around the league that have kind of done what Belichick always did. They could look at a guy and go, he may have a year or two left, but I'm going to go ahead and part ways and not have to pay him for those 2 years.
Would it be a sense of relief if Saros got traded?
A lot
of consternation on this guy, man.
No, I don't think
so. The contract and everything else.
I mean, no, I don't think – because the contract's going to look better and better as time goes on. I mean, there's already some goalie contracts that have made it look better. But and he is playing well. I mean, he's not the issue right now. So
it's funny how those contracts – because it goes from, well, did he earn that contract? Now is, can he live up to that contract? And that's what you're based upon is, can he do that? I mean, that's a lot of money. So you're paying a guy a lot of money. I don't want to see you get beat 6-1 or 5-2 or whatever it is. I mean, I want to see somebody who's stopping as many things they can, and I don't think that's happened. I got no confidence when this team hits the ice, they're going to win.
No.
Like, I asked you Monday night in Florida, I was like, oh, the Preds, my question was, like, how bad did the Preds lose? That was my question. It wasn't like, hey, how'd the Preds do? It was like,
it was how bad they lose.
Yeah, how bad they lose? Because it's just 6-3. The way I feel now. I won this, and I don't like this because I didn't. I grew up with an expansion team here in Nashville. Then they got really – I think we took it for granted from like 2004 on. They're in the playoffs every year. Then 17, it culminated with a run to the Stanley Cup final. It was like, all right, guys. And to see it now, it's just like, it mirrors the football team.
Here's the question you have to ask yourself if you're a Preds fan and really a fan of any team. If you want to go full-on rebuild and trade Saros and – just take this, like the Titans need to do, take this thing down to the studs. You can do that. You can 100% do that. They could, you know, go and start that process today if they wanted to. Do you trust them to build it back?
Preds?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I think they got the right people, but even if you have the right people, like I thought the Detroit Red Wings had the right people for a long time. They haven't built it back. They haven't sniffed the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, so it's not as easy as you think it is sometimes to take it down to the studs and build it back. I'm with you. I think they're at that point where they need to take several steps back to take even more steps forward because this, you know, tweaking here and there has just got them in the same spot, and that is middle of the pack. And so they got to take a big swing at it, you know. But and look, anybody that says on the day that they signed Stamkos and Marchessault, anybody that says like, oh, man, I hated that when they did it, you're lying. And you know you're lying. So, everybody was excited because they had overachieved and they had made the playoffs, and then Trotz is trying to take big swings and bring in some big names and, you know, some score power, some firepower, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work. And the Predators are in that position where it didn't work, and so now what do you do?
I mean, they've won 5 games. Why is Calgary so bad? They've won 4 games.
I don't know.
That's the only team lower than the Predators are right now. I'm not doing my point total. I'm going by wins. I like actual wins. and Preds got 5 wins. And it's funny, if you they're at 14 points right now. If you flip, like, all right, they've lost 9 games. Well, there's these 3 games they could have won and they should have won. If you flip that, they're at 20 points. They're in the upper tier of the Central Division. So it just shows you how just small it is, the margin of error is in the National Hockey League. Unfortunately, the National Predators are on the backside of that.
Not good, Mike.
Nick. You asked what happened to the Flames. He said they flamed out.
Oh, my gosh.
You're all week?
I hope not.
Shut up, Comedy Key West. Right. They're going to bring you back. Joe, what we got coming up next?
Coming up next, there's a special event happening next Tuesday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Actually, outside of the Omni Nashville Hotel for a really good cause. And if you are absolutely terrified of heights, this next segment is for you. We'll tell you more about that coming up.
Coming up here on Chasing Big Joe live from the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines. By the way, Titans note to pass along. C.J. Stroud, the Texans quarterback, has been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Titans. Davis Mills will start again. So still out with a concussion. Something to pay attention to, JoJo.
It is. So next Tuesday at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the 2025 Music City Drop. You're going to rappel down the side of the Omni Nashville Hotel for a really good cause. With that, let's bring in Adam Lowy. He is Executive Director of MoveForHunger.com. Adam, thank you for doing this. How are we today?
Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
How are all right, we got to be crazy, right, to do this. I've done it before, and I'm scared of heights, and I'm telling you, Adam, rappelling down the side of a big building was fantastic, and the fact that you're doing it for a good cause is even better. Tell me about your cause and why we're doing this.
So Move for Hunger is a national nonprofit organization, and we are working to put a spotlight on the fact that 47 million Americans are struggling with hunger, and that includes 1 in 5 children in Tennessee. So we have more than 50 people that are as crazy as you and me, that are going to be rappelling down the side of the Omni Hotel, 20 stories. They've been raising money for the past few months, have helped us collect enough to provide over 600,000 meals to folks all across the country, and we're also going to be making a huge impact in Nashville as well.
Adam, I think there's a lot of things in the world that go on, that happen, and people do this and that. Excuse me, but I think people have the right to eat. I truly believe people have the right to eat. And the fact that I'm seeing this, that these kids in our backyard go to bed hungry every night, that's not good, Adam. And I'm so grateful that you're doing this to let people know that there are people that care out there and you're doing this. And I got to think, you've seen some really bad things, but at the same time, Adam, I think you've seen some really heartwarming things where people come together like this to raise money to feed people.
Absolutely. It's about bringing people together and making it easy to take action. Move for Hunger was founded on that. And today, we are collecting and distributing millions of pounds of food to our nation's food banks. You just saw the government shutdown ended today, which is great. But there were people hungry before the shutdown. This event was obviously planned before the shutdown started. And it's really important that we keep hunger in the news, because little patchwork solutions aren't going to put food on the table for the families that are struggling. We're really excited to use this as an opportunity to talk about food insecurity more in this country. And for those 50 folks that are rappelling down the Omni, when they get to the bottom, we're going to be packing 1,000 meal kits for the local food bank here in town. And we've got Rice Krispies Treats donating an entire trailer load of Rice Krispies Treats snacks to be able to make this holiday a little bit sweeter for kids in the community.
Quick question, where's that trailer of Rice Krispie Treats be parked Monday night? Any idea?
Right? You know what? That is confidential information.
As it should be. The website is moveforhunger.org. Next Tuesday the 18th, we're going to rappel down the side of the Omni to raise awareness about hunger and food waste. And I love this, because people are like, oh, you don't need to do all that. I'm telling you, it's great. Why did you like this idea to raise awareness for hunger?
You know what? Every once in a while, we try to do something crazy. A couple years ago, we broke a Guinness World Record and toppled 13,000 cereal boxes like Domino's with the Pistons. And we're figuring, how can we one-up that? Nashville has always been a community where we've been working a lot in and want to do more in. In fact, we've already provided over 1 million meals to struggling families across Tennessee. And after meeting the folks at the Omni, And just thinking about the dates, we're like, this feels fun. This feels, especially at a time when everything feels stressful for so many, let's bring some fun into this. And the fact that we've been able to raise so much money already is very meaningful.
And can people still sign up? Again, we're talking to Adam Lowy. He's the executive director of MoveForHunger.com. Can people still sign up to do this?
You can sign up. You can, at this point, you can kind of sponsor a person to sign up at moveforhunger.org/musiccitydrop. The fundraising commitment is to raise $2,500. So if you've got a company that wants to sponsor somebody to do it, you can do that. Or you can visit moveforhunger.org/drop and make a donation. Every $25 you donate will help us provide another 100 meals.
Ah, that is beautiful. Adam, thank you for this. I will see you. I guess there's an event Monday night. We're going to hang out, and then Tuesday's the big day, and I'm praying for good weather. And, man, God bless you for what you're doing, because you're making a difference in the world, and we need more people like you, Adam. So thank you. We will see you Tuesday. Again, the website, moveforhunger.org. Adam, I'm excited. I'll do it Tuesday, man, and we'll see you then.
We'll see you then. Looking forward to it.
All right, Adam Lowy, the executive director of MoveForHunger.com. It really bugs me that people go to bed at night hungry. I think everybody deserves a right to eat, and Adam's doing a long way to feed those people in our world. So next Tuesday here at the Omni, again, MoveForHunger.org, all the information. What an absolutely worthy cause for this.
Yes, indeed, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you doing it?
No. Nope. Nope, sorry. It's
okay.
A great cause. I love it, but I am no.
I did it. I've done it twice. The first time I did it at the First Tennessee Building. It was quite an adventure. Next time, I told you, I got shamed into rappelling by the Chick-fil-A cow. Guy shows up, Chick-fil-A cow hooks up, and he's heckling me. He's like, "You're going to let a cow beat you down?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am." So I stood on the ledge for 55 minutes. Then finally said, "What am I doing?" And I went down. Had no problem at all. Went right down. And I got taunted by the Chick-fil-A cow. That's why I don't eat Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Because that damn cow taunted me. Going, and that is an absolutely true story.
I believe
that happened.
It was his pleasure, so, Joe.
Boo. But I did it. And I'm deathly afraid of heights. Deathly afraid of heights. And the guy that was teaching me is a guy that goes in after bad storms, and he cuts down branches with a chainsaw. And he's flying back and forth on the top of the Omni. He's like, "Come on, man, I got you." I'm like, "What if I fall?" He's like, "Then you fall." And he goes, "I'm telling you, you're not going to fall." And he's flinging back and forth. Yeah. When I'm like, "Good Lord." And so, but thank you, Chick-fil-A cow.
Wait, his answer was, "Then you fall."
Yeah. I he was like, "It's such a ludicrous question." I goes, "I get it, but you're not going to fall."
It's like it's like a Rocky IV. If he dies,
he does, right? But it was fine. It was perfect. And it's something I'll never forget, because I conquered a fear of heights doing that.
Well, you did.
Thank you.
I'm not going to, but you did.
Not yet. You'll be there.
Yeah, that's a hard pass for me, man. But it'll be fun, nonetheless. Chasing Big Joe live today at the Omni. And Dustin in Hopkinsville is glad we're doing that. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. But anyway, Davis Mills back in for the Texans, which I think he's been good against the Titans. So I don't know if that really changes a whole lot when it comes to the preparation for this game.
Yeah, he's probably been pretty good. Anytime you drop that Vrabel sound makes me just cry, and I love that.
Oh, it's a good one. So,
hey, Dr. Crane, do the Titans have a good shot at winning on Sunday?
Probably not.
Best, man.
That was so good. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Live at Bar Lines at the Omni, it's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're off tomorrow because the Predators will be playing. And then just to keep you updated on the Chasing Big Joe World Tour, Monday we're at Circus Sports in Kentucky. They're at Kentucky Downs. Tuesday we'll be at the Germantown Pub. Wednesday, we're finally back in studio for the first time in, I think, a month.
I put that back in my GPS. Not sure where that is.
Thursday, we're here, and then Friday next week, we are at the Side Piece. So
that's down here, right? There.
Yeah.
Downtown?
Yep. So looking forward to that, bouncing around. But we'll I'll be around tomorrow in studio, making sure everything goes well with the Preds. But with that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, first on the list, we have Actors Day today. So shout out to the actors. Guinness World Records Day is today. So set a record for longest time in a building. I don't know. International Tempranillo Day is today. That's a type of wine. I'm sorry, what were you saying there, Chase? Go ahead.
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. National Bread Pudding Day is today. Delicious. There we go. National Moms and Dads Day. Shout out to the parents. Sadie Hawkins Day is today. Joe's favorite.
Ah, Sadie. You know what that is, Sadie Hawkins, Nick?
It wasn't like the old Dance Maru thing.
There you go, buddy.
Oh, yep. Yep. Right. The girl asked
you'd
the
be,
guy.
Nick would be like, you two kids 5 feet from each other and you dance.
Hey, space for Jesus. Give a little bubble.
That's right. I was just about to say that.
Start
did you ever hear that?
No, I've never heard that.
You never heard that, Joe?
Us private school kids know, like, when you would dance, it would be like, hey, leave room for Jesus.
Oh, that's great.
And the Holy Spirit. You better know that. Yep. Let's see. Symphonic Metal Day is today. World Kindness Day, World Quality Day, World Usability Day, and last but not least, delicious here, National Indian Pudding Day.
Nice.
What's the difference between Indian pudding and bread pudding?
Bread pudding is more of a thicker substance, and bread pudding is an actual, like, it's made in the oven. Like, you put it in the oven, it bakes. Indian pudding is more of a soupier texture.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within two. Our first birthday, Chase, you go first. The great actor, Joe Mantegna. How does Joe Mantegna, not Joe Montana, Joe Mantegna.
Fat Tony.
Fat Tony, yeah.
74.
73.
78. Dr. Crane, you go. Whoopi Goldberg.
73.
75. 70. Dang. Jimmy Kimmel.
Who's first?
You.
58.
46.
58, exactly. Dr. Crane, your turn now. Actor Gerard Butler.
52.
48.
56. Chase, get to go now. Actor Chris Noth from Law & Order, referred to as Mr. Big in Sex and the City.
63.
64.
71. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. Actor Rex Lynn, that is Reba's fiance, was in CSI Miami.
Yeah.
Patriot game, or Clear and Present Danger, was in Cliffhanger with Stallone.
64.
Better Call Saul. How old?
64.
68.
69.
Nice.
Chase, you're up 3-0.
4364 wants to know if you ever got invited to a Sadie Hawkins dance.
I never have.
Okay.
No.
That's all right.
I get invited to very little things.
Sounds about
right. That's what she said. Chase, you go. Actor Steve Zahn, he was in Happy Texas and That Thing You Do.
47.
48.
58. Dr. Crane, trumpeter Walter Kibbe of Fishbone. Very talented young man. How old is he?
Love Walt. I think he's probably 69.
He's no Walt Wells.
Not indeed.
71.
61. Chase, you get to go now. Bass player Nikolai Fraiture of the Strokes. Nikolai Fraiture of the Strokes.
46.
44.
47. Chase up 4-0. Boy, we got a lot of non-birthdays today. Our last birthday. How old? Chase up. Sorry, Dick, you don't win. And Dick, you might be shut out today, man. How old is four? Chase, you go first. How does former Miami, University of Miami, Heisman Trophy winner, quarterback of the New England Patriots, New York Jets, Vinny Testaverde, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
God, he played forever, too. 64.
58.
How old?
58.
62. Chaser wins 5. He Greg Maddox'd you today, man. 5-0. You got a couple of base hits here and there, but you did nothing else.
Got bad luck. I got bad luck in the studio, I think. Key West is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, because you had your shirt off and your captain's hat on.
You
that's why.
Too. Hey, you brought your Key West football hat. Yes,
I did. I'm going to wear that every day like I did my Lawson football baseball hat and the Lebanon football
hat. We should
hat.
See if Rand Carthon will autograph it
for you. Oh, we should if he's awake. He could do that.
If he talked to us.
If he talked to us.
After all,
we brought up – Rand Carthon's from Key West. We brought up about living in Key West. He was great. Yeah. The time we had Rand Carthon on the show, it was fun. It was great, and he had a good time. And we should come back anytime. He's like, yeah, we'll do that. And he hangs the phone up and never heard back from him.
Yeah. At least he didn't say, probably not.
or slam the phone down like the one time we interviewed the race car guy, Alan Bestwick. We're like, hey, Alan, thanks. And he went to slam the phone down and missed. It was a speakerphone, I think. And he hit it so hard that it, all these like, beep, 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 beep. And then he slammed it again. And we're like, oh, my gosh. He had better things to do than being on us today, so that was fun with all that.
I'm trying to get a question.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Is that the same day he said, you suck, I suck, we all suck, fire him, get rid
maybe,
of him?
Maybe. I did want to mention this as we say goodbye. You know I'm a big wrestling fan. 20 years ago today, one of the greatest of all time, Eddie Guerrero, passed away. And was a big shock at the time in the wrestling industry because he was 38 years old. We were the same age.
What happened to him?
And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I mean, he had had substance abuse problems and stuff in his time, but he was in a really good place and one of the best in the company, and it was just a shock in the wrestling world. But hard to believe it has been 20 years since we lost Eddie Guerrero, so...
Time slows down for no man.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That was his.
Oh, yeah. He had the best where he would, like, the referee would be down or distracted or something, and he'd get a chair. And if he saw the ref was about to turn around, he'd make it slam, throw the chair to his opponent, and lay down like the opponent hit him.
Oh, I didn't see that coming, huh? What's going on here?
It was the best.
Who's the most popular wrestling ref of all time?
Wrestling ref?
Is it Tommy Russell?
Yeah, I mean, Earl Hebner probably was good.
I just laughed because a wrestling ref.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny. Was it Tommy Russell, the one that was here? Or
yeah,
Tommy Sloan?
Tommy, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't remember which one it was. But
Teddy
always...
Long was one, but he was also a manager. I mean, usually refs are guys that just can't make it as a wrestler.
Right.
So they become refs. That way they can take the bumps and stuff. But
oh, there was Lance Russell, Tommy Sloan.
Yeah, Lance Russell. Yeah.
Lance was the announcer, and then Tommy's – I think it was Tommy Sloan, right?
Well, we're going to have Jeff Jarrett on with us in a couple weeks.
Okay.
He'll know.
The guy is so popular. I mean, it's so funny how popular wrestling is today.
Yep.
These guys are just – And you see it on their social medias. You know, I'm followed by 9.7 million people. I'm like, good Lord.
Yep. That is going to do it for us. Thanks to the Omni for having us again. No show tomorrow because of Predators cover. So we'll be back at it Monday from Circa Sports.
We always talk about great things in our world. We always talk about God winks. Chase and I had a God wink in Key West. There was a guy came up to us and said, hey, I know you. And he goes, I listen to your show and your mental health message every day. And if one person takes our message and turns your life around, we did our job. We tell you all the time how just wonderful you are, how great you are, and that we need you here. And your journey, although sometimes it's a rocky road, is a beautiful journey. You know why? It's your journey. And we can't celebrate our success unless we celebrate your success. So we need you here, right? We love you guys so much. There's help available. Go to the website, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. You'll see the link for Unity Psychiatric Care. Reach out to us anytime. Talk to us. Please know that we love you. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD next here on 102.5 The Game.